You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, June 17th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Twins are off today, head to Texas for a three-game series this weekend with the Rangers. Couple notes. Sounds like Donaldson's calf is going to be okay. Rocco said yesterday that potentially JD would just need like an extra day or something before he gets back. But it doesn't sound like Donaldson's going to head to the injured list. Simmons, I think certainly at the time, Andrelton Simmons, who left with an ankle injury last night or with a pain in his ankle, looked at the time more concerning. Because he's had, as Donaldson has had calf issues, Simmons has had ankle issues, and he was really limping off the field. Like, he was almost dragging his foot as he was walking off the field. Donaldson did look more like the tightness that was described when they talked about the injury. So hopefully those two are okay, and they're back in the lineup soon for the Twins. And, Buxton's still working through, sounds like, working through the hip. And I talked about this at length last night a little bit. I think Buxton, it's okay to have, you see guys rehabbing from injuries, and you see guys coming back from injuries, especially severe injuries, like, partially tearing a hip flexor muscle, things like that. When guys rehab, it's not always linear. Like, Buxton, guys will have setbacks, and I think that's what this is. Buxton played in some games for St. Paul. There's some video of him running to first base, not looking very comfortable doing so. And it's a setback. I think the Twins wanted to see him in Seattle, and that's why they brought him there. Now, I don't know if that's like the soundest of decisions, just like let him rehab at home, I guess, is the argument. But this is not easy. I mean, this is something that was pretty severe. He's been out for 6 weeks, and they're trying to work him back into game shape, and they're going to continue to do that. And I hope to see him out on the field soon. I want to talk about the sticky ball situation today because I promised I would finally discuss that. I didn't have a chance last week or early this week with so much Twins action going on. But I want to talk about MLB's new rules cracking down on the use of foreign substances for pitchers. And I think, the main thing that I have learned and that I've understood and looking and reading, and this has been going on for a couple of years, I know. And I know it originates back, there's some Twins life to it with Ryan Pressly leaving and gaining a bunch of spin on his curveball. Garrett Cole going to Houston, getting a bunch of spin on his pitches and really turning into a beast. And this is not something that's new to 2021. Pitchers have been using foreign substances for a long time, but the rate at which they're being used and by how many and the actual substance has progressed in a way that, yes, has become a problem. I believe that it is a problem. I think the curveballs and the rising fastballs have contributed to the offensive sputtering that we've seen in 2021. I think stuff has never been better just generally. I think guys now, so many guys throwing 96, 97, 98 to 100, you add that into them using sticky stuff, the spider tack or the sunscreen, whatever it might be, and you get an absolute beast a lot of the time. And you give Garrett Cole, who already threw 99, you give him some spider tack so the ball spins more and moves more, and it makes him unhittable. You can see why the Bowers, the Coles, why they really took those next steps when they started to use the substances, and you can see it in the numbers and the spin rates. And it's so many pitchers. And I would do, like, the thing is, the league didn't enforce it. So if the league is not going to enforce it and guys are gaining an advantage and it's your career and the league's not enforcing the rule, I can see why players would follow the lead of others and try to enhance their stuff and pitch better and use whatever they can to gain an advantage. But it is cheating because it's against the rules. It's against the rules, but it's not enforced. It's like it is one of those rules that hasn't been enforced. And I think the league finally taking action with it is a good thing. I think it's a good thing that they're doing that. I think it's going to help offense. I think it's going to bring more action into the game. I think you're going to see strikeouts fall a little bit as players don't use the substances. But yeah, 10-day suspension, and you can't replace that player on your roster if he's caught using foreign substances. Twin specific, I think, you know, Michael Pineda has had a history. He's got the pine tar on his neck in New York. He has a history of using substances. Do I think it's possible that Pineda, or maybe even likely that he's using substances? Yeah, I do. I think another guy is Berríos, potentially, that could be using something. I think the pitching staff has been so bad that if they're using something, I don't want to see them when they're not. And that's a troubling thought here for the rest of the season. But, you know, we haven't heard anything specific about Twins pitchers using it. But as they say, your favorite player is doing it too. And I think, you know, the Berríos and the Pinedas and the Maedas potentially probably have benefited from the sticky stuff. But maybe not as much as other guys, you know, maybe not to the degree of other starters around the league. But you just see it. You see it everywhere. You see guys grabbing their caps. You see all the, you know, you can see it on the hats when guys are grabbing at it in the middle of games, in the middle of starts, in the middle of innings to gain that advantage. And I do think, yes, like I said, it's a problem, and I'm glad the league has taken a stance on it. The problem for them is that they also have banned rosin and sunscreen, which is a very common way for players to get grip on the ball and for them to hold the ball better. Let's talk about Tyler Glasnow's comments after the break. Stonks, memes, rocket ships. Day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront. Instead, investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonmlb. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonmlb. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonmlb to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonmlb and get started today. So Tyler Glasnow, an ace for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's 6'8", throws 100, you know, huge curveball, 12-6 curve, just nasty, nasty stuff. And then you add in the spider tack or whatever that he's been using, adding in the sticky stuff. He stops using it in his last couple starts because the league's cracked down. No one wants to get suspended for 10 games, and you get paid for those 10 games. But there was an argument like this won't disincentivize players from doing it. I don't think guys want to miss two starts. I don't think guys want to do that. And also, I don't think teams want just dead weight on their 26-man roster because you can't replace them. So Glasnow's one of the guys who stopped using anything and explained in an interview how he had to hold the ball tighter. You know, he had to get a better grip on it. He had to put it deeper into his palm, and he thinks it contributed to his latest injury, which is a partial UCL tear. He's trying to avoid Tommy John surgery. And I thought it was really interesting, the interview, and he talked about the problems that have arise from not using rosin and sunscreen because it really does help you grip the ball. I agree, like, Aram Layton is a buddy of mine, and he hosts the Locked On MLB Prospects. He tweets the other day, he was like, why are pitchers acting like they're holding a bar of soap? I agree with that. Like, how slippery really is the ball? I mean, I believe that it's slippery. I always look at the balls that I've gotten. Like, Miguel Cabrera threw me a ball that's in my room right now, and I'll feel it. And, like, it is. Like, I could see how it could be slick. But it's not like Aram said, it's not like they're throwing a bar of soap up there. I did think that was interesting from Glasnow, though, and it's something to watch this year, especially with the increased workloads. If that contributes to pitchers potentially getting injured this year because they're not using rosin and sunscreen. But it's been a fascinating process to watch. It's been a fascinating thing to follow. Like, I followed this for years and seen Trevor Bauer try to point it out and say, listen, the Astros are using sticky stuff. The Astros are using sticky stuff. The league not to do anything, and then Bauer decides to use it himself. and ends up going on to win the Cy Young. You're never going to know. It's like the Astros cheating. You're never going to know how much it really benefits someone, but you can kind of come to your own conclusions, and you can take evidence and take word from both sides, and the fact that everyone's using it, and I come to the conclusion that I think it significantly helps pitchers. I think it significantly gives a pitcher an advantage because the stuff is nastier. And Buster only tweets the other day, pitchers are already going to more changeups than they are breaking balls because they're not using the sticky stuff, which is just really, really interesting. And I think it's going to help the control guys. It's going to help the Bailey Obers of the world. I couldn't help but think that yesterday. It's going to help guys who already had really good command. And I think you probably will see hit-by-pitches go up because the ball will slip out, but they were already on their way up. I mean, they've been way up in recent years. So, you know, that'll be interesting to watch too. There will be unintended consequences of this. It feels like there already has been. But I think in the long run, for me, I think it's a good thing. I think it's going to help offense. I agree. Like, offense being down like this is not a good thing. I always think of my nanny kids that I watch, and when they watch the Twins or they watch baseball, I want there to be more action for them because I want them to love the game like I do. And for me, they're not going to lose me. I think a lot of baseball fans feel that way. They're not going to lose me. The game could go down the toilet in just a gameplay sense. I don't think it will. The game is in really great hands with Fernando Tatis Jr., Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Ronald Acuna Jr., Bo Bichette, all these kids, Juan Soto, just so many of them that are tremendous and so electric and amazing that I think the game is heading in a really great direction. And I hope next year isn't a problem. The CBA negotiations aren't a problem. But even with that, even with my little nanny kid wanting to buy a Fernando Tatis jersey because he loves Fernando, I want them, when they watch the game, to see more action. I don't want there to be strikeouts. And that's really when it came to the forefront for me, thinking about it, with all the strikeouts, the walks, and less balls in play. Because I realized to myself, like, it didn't matter to me. It's not going to matter to me what the game looks like. Would I be more entertained by that? Potentially, but like I can buy into different ways that the game is played, and I can fall in love with those ways, or I can you know, just love baseball anyway. I just will always watch, and I'll always enjoy it. And I think I did, over the last couple months, really come to the conclusion that it's important for kids. Like, it's important for kids to see more action in the game, I think. And I agree. And I don't think there should be some radical change. I don't think that, you know, they should be banning the shift or anything like that. But I think moves like this, where you discover something that maybe you didn't know a whole lot about, but you start to even the playing field a little bit. Because like I said, pitcher stuff these days have never been better. The velocity's never been higher for so many different guys. The curveballs have never spun more. It's a crazy time around the league to be a pitcher, with just advancements in technology and health and nutrition. And, you know, I agree. There should be more action. I think reducing the base pass is an interesting one. Moving the mound back, I know I've heard. I agree that would probably cause a bunch of injuries for pitchers to throw the ball a further distance. I like the shortening of the base pass, so I think that is that would incentivize contact, certainly. But I think I put more weight into, yes, do I think players are going all out to hit home runs? I think they are in some sense, but I also think that a huge portion of that and a huge part of that problem is that pitchers are so good. I think that's, for me, a bigger chunk of the pie, that pitchers are so good. And in order for you to try to remedy that, this is a move. This is a move to ban the sticky stuff and don't give them any more advantages as they throw harder and throw nastier stuff. Don't give them any more advantages to what's already there. And that's why I agree with this step. Did they go too far with the rosin and sunscreen? Probably, but I did read that umpires wouldn't be able to tell if it's sunscreen or if it's sticky tack in the moment. So they're just banning everything. We'll see what happens. We'll watch this in the upcoming weeks. You know, what happens with this and the fallout from it. But I want to talk a little bit more about Jose Berríos today, so stick around and we'll talk about that after the break. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit, or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code LOCKEDON.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On there, how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
So Darren Doogie Wolfson, friend of the show. I heard him on a Score North podcast the other day talking about Jose Berríos and how he thinks the Twins will start to get going on extension talks with him in the next couple of weeks. I had a little segment a couple days ago talking about why I think the Twins should extend Jose Berríos, and that comes with me knowing that Jose Berríos is not an ace. He's not a top-end number one. Probably not even a low-end number one. I think he's a clear number two. A solid number two with some upside, enough upside for you to buy into him. I think I was pondering it tonight. He's in the Marcus Stroman tier, you know, of guys that are just electric. He reminds me, like, him and Marcus Stroman are very similar, and Stroman's going to be a free agent. But just the electricity, the competitiveness, the intangible stuff that you love to have from your pitcher and that Jose Berríos has exuded in his entire career with the Minnesota Twins. And that's a huge part of why I want them to extend him, because I think he can be a leader for the rotation, both in innings every year because he's so durable. He has that over Stroman, certainly. And is just a leader in the clubhouse. You know, everything, all the reports on Jose Berríos are that he's just a top-notch guy and that he's a great teammate. And you can see that. And I love that. You know, these are the type of guys you keep in your organization. Jose Berríos is going to fall into the Joe Mauer extension category for me. Because I think he has left an impact, and I think he has been a really special piece for them. And I think he's going to continue to be good. And if he continues to be just who he is, he's going to be worth the $500 million that the Twins pay him, 5 years, $100 million, whatever it might be. He's going to be worth that if he stays like who he is. And if he gets better, you're going to get excess value on that contract. The question then becomes, like, how high are you willing to go on Jose Berríos? Lance McCullers, I know Doogie had pointed to these two. McCullers, I think, had 5 years, $85 million. Wheeler, 5-118. Yes, I think it would fall somewhere in the middle, like 5-100, 5 years, $100 million for Jose Berríos, I think is super reasonable. I think if you got into like the 5-125 range, you're starting to really bump it up a little bit, and you start to ask yourself, can we get two good pitchers for $25 million a year for the next 5 years, every year? You know, can we get two guys that are somewhat close to that tier that would provide more value? Then you start to think about that, and that's when it gets a little hefty. But I think in the next couple weeks before the trade deadline, I think it's a pivotal time, certainly, for the Twins and Jose Berríos, and just a pivotal time for the Twins, period, with this season that's been so disastrous, and knowing that they're going to sell, and thinking about who they can sell. And because the first one-year deal guys have been so bad, if you can sell them and what you can possibly get for any of them, that's what they're going to be dealing with. And I think as an organization and as a front office that signed extensions after the 2019 season, they're in it for the long run, can ask themselves and can come to the agreement that they're going to try to compete and that this is not going to turn into a rebuild. And I think a huge step toward doing that, in my opinion, is extending Jose Berríos. Because if you extend Berríos right now, you got to take advantage of those first 2-3 years in his new deal. You got to take advantage of those years that he stays on the roster. and build around him. You know, build your rotation around him and build a team around those years and competing in those years. And you commit to that. And I think that, again, shows a lot to the fan base. I think it shows a lot to Jose, and it shows a lot to potential free agents that could come here about how serious the Twins are about winning here in the next 5 years. If you can let this thing play out, and Jose might just continue to turn the Twins down, and every offer might just say nope, and really wants to test free agency. And at that point, the Twins aren't going to outbid 29 other teams. They don't do that. You would love to see them do it, but I don't think they would. The best chance they have, I think, is in the next couple of weeks. And I know Doogie made a really good point. Like, you can start the talks now and then feel confident enough going into the winter to not trade him. But it is hard for me to sit here and say, if Jose Berríos isn't going to agree to an extension, like, anything you offer, you give him a great offer and you give him one final chance to accept that offer and he says no. Do I think at that point that the Twins should really start to think about moving him? I do, and it always depends on the deal. It always depends on what you're getting back. My buddy Keaton, what's up, Keaton? Putting together some mock trades, and we'll do that in upcoming weeks if I feel like we're heading in that direction. And I think that's why it's so pivotal here in the next month or so. If you can get something done with Berríos now, I think it says a lot in what has been an awful season. You can get some positives that you lock him up long term, that you feel good about next year, and in just a sense of, okay, we've solidified Berríos. Let's go build. Let's go build. Let's turn this thing around and let's be better next year and in 2023. And again, if he doesn't want to sign that extension, you do have to think about trading him for some value. Like, I believe personally, and this is like tentative right now, I believe personally that the Twins can compete in 2022 because I know they have $40 to $55 to $60 million to spend in the payroll, and if they spend less than that, you know, there'll be pitchforks, as we've heard before. But I know that they have money to spend. I know that with Falvey and Levine that they've really tried to push that, spending $92 million on a 34-year-old third baseman. I feel confident that they're going to work with Jim Poulet to spend money this offseason. And if they want to, go spend $55 million. You can get so much for $55 million. And I think the Twins can build around the current team that's here next year and go out there and compete again. I mean, they were supposed to compete with this roster, and I think they can replace Hap, Shoemaker, of course, Colomé, with better guys on the free agent market. And if you do that, I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't think the Twins would go out there and compete next year. And a lot of that revolves around current roster guys. Like, can Jorge Polanco keep it up? Can Miguel Sano finally put something together consistently where you feel decent about him being a part of the club next year? Can Alex Kirilloff and Trevor Larnach show you the rest of the summer that they're going to help you win? You know, can Max Kepler show you that he deserves a spot in the outfield? Can Buxton stay healthy for longer than a month? Like, these things are important to believing in next year. And I think we're going to learn a lot over the next couple months. And I think the Twins will learn a lot going into the offseason about just what they have for 2022 and beyond. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll do Prospect Friday, talk about my updated top 21 Twins prospects. Can't wait to do that. Really excited. We'll talk about the performers in the minor leaguers and how things are going for Twins top prospects. Join me then. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. And we'll talk again Friday live on Locker Room. Go Twins, baby.